Kate, and welcome to episode 21 of Pennies in the Well. I am your host, Saturn Darkhope, and I'm coming to you live from my living room floor, flat on my back and slightly less into the painkillers at the moment, and having lost a piece of paper that I'm meant to be holding. So, yes, as you may have guessed by that intro, this is going to be a bit of a different episode. In fact, it probably would have been a mini-sode, except that I ramble too much, and so the odds of it being mini are, well, slim. So you are going to get a little bit of my story for where I've been the past 4 weeks, actually. Why you haven't heard a peep out of me? If you follow me on Twitter or on Facebook, you already know about this, or if you follow my blog, but I just wanted to kind of let everyone know what was going on, that I am not pod fading. Not that anyone suggested that. But should it be crossing your mind? No, not happening. It's actually a case of extreme pain and a lot of medication. Thankfully, the pain level is significantly down at this point, which means that the medication level is coming down, which means that I can actually hold a conversation that mostly makes sense. To give you an idea of, well, kind of how bad it's been. Two days ago? Yeah, I think we're going to go with 2 days ago. I was trying to describe... Well, I was trying to find the word bagel, and I couldn't find it in my head. And all I could come up with was a bread-like substance that was doughy and round. That's the level my brain's been operating at, so that's why I haven't been doing a podcast. In part because I've had no brain, and in part because I couldn't sit or stand. In fact, I still can't really sit or stand for any length of time. Right now, in my improved state, I can sit for 3 to 5 minutes, the same with standing, before the pain kicks in. And I'm ecstatic that I can actually sit or stand for 3 to 5 minutes. Like, this is huge in my world. But that kind of gives you an idea of where I've been. So I'm going to be doing this episode purely as a what I have learned in the extent of my pain. And as a chance to kind of let everyone know what's going on and to say that I have not disappeared except into the depths of my own mind. That's not necessarily a good thing. But first off, of course, I just want to remind you that there is a contest on the go. It's for a book, something about fairy magic and gardens. I'm afraid I didn't have enough forethought to grab the book before I lie down on the floor. And given that I'm lying down on the floor to do this, I'm not getting up to go get the book to determine exactly what the title was. My apologies. So it is a very lovely little book. Very pretty, has some nice information and stuff in it, and it can be yours for the simple cost of sending me an email to penniesinthewell@gmail.com, and in the subject line put contest entry, and in the body tell me what aspect or part of nature makes you feel the most magical. And I'm going to extend the deadline on it, given that I've given no reminders and stuff, to the end of February. Or the next podcast I do, whichever one happens to come later. I'm hoping that I do another show before the end of February, but I'm making no promises given how the last 4 weeks have gone. So that was my one reminder. If you're looking for standard show kind of actual information, that kind of shit, yeah, skip ahead, go to the next show. All I'm going to cover in this one is the things that I have learned over the past 4 weeks while being in the midst of intense pain, etc. So with no further ado, and no intros because that requires effort, here we are on things that I have learned in the last 4 weeks. Now, I probably should tell you what it is that I have been suffering from. We pretty much are certain it's a herniated disc. So that would be the jelly-like substance that's between your vertebrae. Can apparently get inflamed, bulge out, poke through the little ring that holds it all happily in, and it squishes out, and it presses on nerve clusters, and those nerve clusters cause pain down your leg and in your back, or in the, like kind of the bottom left small of your back. It's felt like a red-hot poker. Constant, like someone had shoved it in there and it never gets cold, and they just kind of grind it around every once in a while for fun. And then the excruciating leg pain, mostly down the back and actually down the side. And I discovered one of the things that I learned is that there's actually an anterior sciatic nerve and not just a posterior sciatic nerve. The posterior one is one that goes down the back of your leg, and it's the most common for leg pain. But the anterior one actually ends up kind of going down the outside of your leg. And I've also got some really cheery numbness going on the outside of my leg and down to the foot. So, yeah, that's been going since the 21st that the numbness started. Thereabouts, we'll go with that. Yeah, and so that's where I've been. And it turns out that whole the disc and inflamedness and nerves and all that can cause extreme agony, where the act of any pressure, so any gravity type pressure, so standing and sitting both cause pressure on the spine, right? Because you're now upright and your spine kind of compresses down. Agony, pure, utter, simple agony. It was to the point where to get up in the morning, which was kind of cruel and unusual torment, but you kind of have to get up. There's some biology that happens. And I would get up and I would go straight to the kitchen, put out the cat food, because of course, why would it happen at a different time in my life? This is a precise moment or a time in my life when the vet has told me that my cat has to go on a diet because while she was on her not freaking out medication, which we had to change to Prozac. Yes, my kitty is now actually literally on Prozac. Way to go, kitty. And I will say it actually works better for her. But the other medication she was on had her so slow and lazy that she put on an entire kilo in 9 months. An entire kilo. That's 2.2 pounds. On like a 15 pound cat in 9 months. So the vet kind of went, no, she needs to go on a diet. And strangely, her diet involves wet cat food. Regardless, and by the way, I'm probably going to ramble because still got some pain going on, still got some painkillers going on, still kind of not quite in my right mind, if we've ever found my right mind, which may have been left or forward of center. We're not entirely sure. So yeah, I would get up, put out the cat food, and make it to the couch and lie there and deal with kind of waves of pain for like, you know, 10, 15 minutes before I would get up and go to the bathroom. Like everything I did was in these itty bitty teeny tiny sections. And yeah, so I've learned a lot and many things are going to go out and I'm going to start with a list. I actually made a list and it is in no particular order. And why did I make a list? Because I have no brain. I refer you back to the drugs part. So what I have learned is that first off, pain can always get worse. Just so you know, if you're ever suffering pain, something you can keep in mind when you're going, oh my God, this is horrible and the most disgusting, nasty thing ever. It can always get worse. Yeah, I had a downturn after my first upsweep turn where I'm like, oh my God, I think I might actually feel ever so slightly better, was followed by a downswing into the worse that I had been, and I actually ended up in the emergency because my doc said, there's nothing more I can do for you. If you want to have some help, go to emergency. You might get lucky and better drugs. Yeah, got a shot of morphine. Turns out that morphine does shit all for me. Anyway, well, actually, that was the second part of the note, that the quality of the drugs will always be one step behind the level of pain, at least in my experience. It turns out that while I have little tolerance to recreational drugs, I have a really high tolerance to painkillers, which seems unfair, cruel, unusual punishment. And so every time, you know, like I would get prescribed a painkiller and it would just kind of take the edge off and then be like, you know what, this just isn't doing it for me. So I get the next level, but I'd also get the next level of pain. So they kind of, you know, one-stepped each other up the ladder. Well, let's see. Number two. Ooh, pain strips us down to the true bare essentials. And no shit it does. When you can't move and you can barely do anything, you find out what you consider absolutely the most basic necessities in your life. Which for me included looking after my pets. Like I said, the very, very first thing I did before I even made it to the bathroom. And thank God painkillers apparently also kind of dehydrate you because it meant that was actually possible. Looking after my pets is apparently one of my highest priorities. And I think that's just in part because they can't do for themselves. It's not like someone else was going to come along and suddenly feed them. You know, that responsibility was solely on my head. So that had to be done. Now, other things like personal hygiene, you know what? It's amazing how quickly it goes away. The need to, for instance, brush your hair. Yeah, you don't need to brush your hair on a daily basis when all you're going to do is lie in a bed and then get up and move to the couch and lie on a couch and then move and lie on the floor and then lie on the couch and then lie in the bed again. You kind of tuck your hair back into whatever contraption you happen to find handy and you leave it there. Though if you're ever in that particular circumstance, I highly recommend brushing out your hair before you wash it because that'll make the whole washing process go easier. And unfortunately, I do consider washing my hair like every 3 or 4 days as a necessity of life. And it turns out that because you actually have to stand through that process, and it's kind of a minimum of 4 minutes, that's about as low as I could get down washing my hair into, probably 3.5 to 4 minutes. When you can't stand to, like, well, you can't bear to stand for more than like 20, 30 seconds. In fact, you didn't like those 20, 30 seconds, but you kind of had to do it anyways. That 4 minutes turns into pure unadulterated hell. And kind of funny, because quite naturally, you take on that whole Lamaze breathing that you see all the time on TV, and they're like, well, I wasn't doing the who part so much, but there was definite like panting type breathing of just focus on the breathing, breathe through the pain, it'll all end, just keep breathing, keep breathing. Oh yeah. Okay, so let's see, what's next? You find out who your friends and family and caring people are around you. Yeah, I love you all, for any of you guys who are listening. My sister, my coven mate, as well as close friends have been, I don't even have words apparently. Without them, I would not have made it through the last 4 weeks. Because they have done my grocery shopping, they have taken out my garbage, they have cleaned my kitty litter, including my sister, who's never in her life cleaned kitty litter, cleaned my cat's litter box. Mind you, she was hungover, and it was very nearly a bad experience for all involved. I'll just leave it at that. But she did do it, and I love her for it. And there was a lot of people in the local community and such who, and coworkers who offered to pick up groceries, to do my laundry, and all that kind of stuff. And wow, I love you guys. And it is amazing the people that we have around us in our community. And it really made me think at one point of, and this was recently, because like I said, I haven't had a lot of brain until the last week when things started to improve. The number of people out there who, I mean, could you imagine if you didn't have that? Because I had that image. Like, what if it was just me and I didn't have a brother who would come and, you know, well, actually, my brother went and spent 2 hours of his evening going and driving to my doctor's to get the next prescription of Percocets and then driving to the pharmacy and filling that order for me. Or the friend who came after work and after his physio appointment came out here, got me into his car and drove me over to the emergency room so that I could move forward on the potentially getting better. The emergency room had the advantage of they did order a CT scan. Because I wasn't getting better, and it had been like over 3 weeks at this point. Yeah, so, you know, people are amazing, and they've done wonderful things for me. But the people who didn't have that, like, if you didn't, what would you do? You know, if you had no one to drive anywhere, to pick you up anything, I mean, sure, you could get your groceries delivered, but how do you get to your doctor? How do you get your prescription? How do you get around? And it happens that my doctor is about a 45-50 minute drive away, so it's not insignificant. And if I had to taxi it, holy crap, that would have been expensive. Not to mention riding in a car, let me tell you, it's just, well, you can sort of lie flat in a back seat, but it's not like your legs are stretched out. And I had some moments with that experience, but we won't need to go into those right now. So let's see, what else did I learn? Oh, and part of that, friends and family, just as a tip, if you're ever in that kind of situation, spread around their love. Go to a variety of people for what it is that you need. Spread around the joy so that nobody gets burnt out, especially if you're going to be at it for a while. Because like I said, I've been at this for 4 weeks, which means that I've had 4 weeks of people doing me favors and helping me out. And I know they don't begrudge me it, but I don't want them to get to the point where they grudge me that. So just as a, if you're ever in that situation, that would be a piece of advice that I would give. Okay. Oh, yes. The next point, drugs and pain keep the world from getting boring. Because you might ask yourself, what, you know, how bored did I get with the fact that for 24 hours a day, you know, okay, we'll call it 12 hours a day, because for 12 of it, I was managing to sleep thanks to drugs and such. I've been sleeping about 12 hours a night, 10 to 12. But you're awake for 12 to 14 hours a day. And you can do nothing. Like, literally, all I can do was lie on the couch. I could watch TV. Books were okay most of the time, except on the really, really bad days when I couldn't focus at all. Computer? Oh, yeah. No, the computer was pretty much out. Like, I could spend like 2 to 5 minutes taking a glance at Twitter or Facebook, but there was no real typing involved. Oh my God, no, hell no. Ow! Because it turns out that, like, in order to get your fingers onto the keys and your eyes onto the screen and all of that requires some amount of bending in a body that refused to bend without excruciating agony. So yeah, there was no computer. And even if I'd had a brain to use it, which I refer you back to the drugs and the pain part, they kill your thinking ability. My cognitive skills have been non-existent. Hello, the round doughy thing. Round doughy bread-like thing is a bagel. Yeah. Mind you, some of my other descriptions have been really good, but that one was a really big failure. But the upside is that both pain and drugs really just wipe out that whole cognitive brain thing. And so even though you can't do anything except watch TV or read a book, you don't care. That's right. I didn't care. I've spent 4 weeks lying on a couch, and only in the last couple of days as I started feeling better has it really started going, okay, I'd rather be doing something else. Which isn't to say that I didn't frequently have the thought of, oh God, I wish I was better and could actually go live a life again. But that was a, you know, thought of the future. For any thought in the moment, the thought of doing anything was too much work and too painful in all likelihood, and so you just didn't do it. All I could do was lie there, and I was kind of okay with it. Yay drugs. Oh yes, yeah. As you may have heard, I worked my way up from tramadol, which is a synthetic opiate, to supadol, which is a form of oxycodone, to Percocet, which is a much stronger version. So I kind of meandered my way up the drug chain. It was kind of fun. Okay. And kind of this next point goes with the previous one. Improvement can be measured by the diminishment of pain, but also by the increase of boredom. So yeah, I have learned that that's how I can tell I'm feeling better. Less pain and more boredom. Really fabulous. And of course, as you get better, you know you're not allowed to actually do anything. You know, you may feel like you can stand longer or that you can move slightly more. And should you? No. Because you're just in the early parts of healing, and if you try and do anything, you're going to screw yourself up and put yourself back another week or two, and oh dear God, I don't want to go back to that pain, ever, really. I'm good. I never have to have it again. Oh, next point. Sigh. Pain doesn't kill you. It, pain itself doesn't kill you. There were points when I was just, that was it. I couldn't take it anymore. It couldn't get any worse. Oh dear God, no. But you know what? Didn't matter what my thinking was. The fact is that the pain was still there, and it went away when it went away. Ooh, I had some first pain experiences on this round, because I've never broken a bone. I've had some pain experiences, but. You know, not the really obvious dramatic ones before. So this was some new territory for me. And I had the joy of experiencing pain that would make me almost pass out while driving. And I didn't drive again after that day, if it's any consolation to people. Pain where, well, the causing tears in the eyes. Now, with the tattoo and stuff, I've experienced pain that will cause me to tear up. But color. I've never before experienced pain with color. Where the pain, just part of my experience of the pain, was as a color. But that was when on Christmas Day, which was already a bad day. I'll just say that, because it was in the worst kind of weeks, and I'd ridden in the backseat of my brother's car, and I was lying on the floor, and then my sister's 140-pound dog stepped on my nipple piercing and sent the rest of my back into spasm. That was a bad day. Christmas Day was not really fun in my particular world this year. In fact, you could say the entire Yule Christmas holidays passed me by in a pain-filled blur. I still have Christmas presents that are sitting in bags. Technically, they're unwrapped. I don't remember what I got. I remember very little of the day. I do remember that I ate Christmas dinner by having a plate of food on my chest, and I only had food that was finger foodable. So that meant that I could have like broccoli with cheese sauce because you can grab that in a finger, but no mashed potatoes because mashed potatoes with gravy as a finger food just doesn't work. So, yeah, that's what I remember of Christmas Day, that and the dog stepping on my nipple piercing and putting the entire rest of my back into spasm on top of the rest of the pain. And it was when that happened that I actually experienced pain as, not just pain, but as color. It was kind of funky. It was this red color. And if I never have that experience again, I think I'll be fine. Okay, what next do we have? Ah, cleaning kitty litter is at a level of necessity almost equivalent to eating. Which, basically that one came out of the fact that there were two things that I managed to make sure happened pretty near every day. I mean, the eating obviously happened every day. Though it's remarkable the number of foods. Well, actually, there's a limit, honestly, to the number of foods that require zero preparation. So you can walk up, pick it up, lie back down, and eat it. Or only require microwaving or toastering. Toasting? I guess it's toasting. So there's been a lot of bread. We're going to ignore the fact that I forgot to turn off my phone. Deal? Okay. So I've done a lot of toast. Raisin bread. Nice, simple, has flavor, and requires nothing else to go on it. Isn't that a catchy little tune? Yeah, I got high because I got high because I got high. Which I've had none of that either, because it turns out that if I attempt to get high while going through this experience, it just aggravates the pain level and makes me more aware of it. So I've been clean and sober for 4 weeks. Awesome sauce. Not that I'm not regularly clean and sober, but you know, it's nice to imbibe like every once in a while. And the fact that I don't have anywhere to go or anything to do would make imbibing a little easier, except for the fact that it causes more pain. Sigh. So yeah, food wise, it's been, and I like real food. I don't like prepackaged food. Ever since I got on the eat better kick, I noticed the difference when I eat. Like, I have Lean Cuisines in the freezer. And trust me, they have been a saving grace on certain days. But mostly I've been trying to have the real food. And there's a limit to what you can do that requires zero preparation. Because you're not going to do any preparation when pretty much every moment standing longer is agony. You just don't add to it. Okay. And then the cleaning kitty litter. Well, you know what? I have multiple cats. And you clean it, well, when on a normal day, normal life, normal living, that's an everyday kind of thing. When sick, you might push it to 2 days, but you can't do like every other day. It's actually like every day with the occasional skip. And even in the midst of this, this is something that I managed to keep up. Of course, when I was getting a lot of visitors around, I was really making use of the visitors and getting them to clean my kitty litter on a really regular basis. But that's, turns out that's a strong necessity. That isn't something that you just go, oh, I don't feel good, I'm not going to clean the kitty litter. My back hurts, I'm not going to clean the kitty litter. No, no, no option there. They have no outdoors that they can make use of. Kitty litter is almost on a level with eating. Let's see. Oh yes, there's more than one way to take a bath. I'll just say that. So, you know, for those of you who go, but if your back really hurts, how can you actually go and have a bath? Trust me, you can do it. Just be a little creative. The next point. If you lie down on the emergency room waiting floor, you get into an examination room a lot quicker. So there's a tip for you that I learned this time around. Because as I think I've mentioned, sitting also causes a lot of agony. And I'd managed about 15-20 minutes of sitting in the chair in the secondary waiting room at the emergency room. And I was just like, you know what? I couldn't take it anymore. I lie down on the floor. Nurse walks by and looks at me and goes, do you realize how dirty those floors are? And I looked at her and just went, you know, there comes a point when you just don't care. And it was so true, because I'd put it off as long as I could, but I ceased to care. I didn't care what anyone thought. I didn't care what was on the floor. All I cared about was putting some mild end to the pain that I was going through. So I lie down on the floor. And yeah, so we had that little moment, and then, you know, 5-10 seconds later, there's another nurse going, so what was your name? And I tell her, she goes off, and 30 seconds later, they're calling me into one of the examination rooms. Now, it's always possible that it was my time to go into the room, but I tend to think that my lying on the floor out of sheer desperation was a helpful component of getting in. Let's see. Oh, and as another thing I learned while I was in the hospital, that riding in a wheelchair, because this was the first time that's ever happened to me. And okay, I admit it, I'd had the shot of morphine before I got in the chair, but I can't say that the morphine did a heck of a lot. I was still just in, it was like taking down two notches out of 20 of the agony. Anyhow, so I'm in the wheelchair, and it's like riding in a ride in Disneyland or at a carnival. You know, when you're in those little two-seaters and you're on a track and you're going along, and doors suddenly open in front of you, and you go into a new room, the doors close behind you, but you can't see anything behind you, and you're just kind of floating along almost magically, right? And you're in your little cart, and you go through these different rooms and these different walkways and stuff, and you see different things. It was totally like that being wheeled around in a wheelchair. That was when I went to get the x-ray, which of course the x-ray is fine, but these things rarely show as an actual bone thing. So that was one thing I learned. You can get through anything when you don't have a choice. And my example that I had put down for myself was, for instance, driving. That incident where a couple of times actually on that final drive where I had to do the you are not going to pass out, you're going to keep driving, you are going to stay completely focused on what is happening, because my head was doing the threaten to pass out thing. Yeah, if you have to do it, you'll do it. I was stuck out there, and sure, if I really wanted, I needed to, I could have pulled over, parked, taken a cab, gotten someone else to get my car, but I'm like, no, I just have to get home, just have to get home. And then once I got home, I didn't leave again. And it's just like I had to clean the kitty litter, and I had to feed myself, and you have to go to the bathroom, and it doesn't matter how much it fucking hurts, 'cause you still have to do it. And it's amazing what that does. I'm sure you guys have also experienced, and if you haven't, let me tell you, it is there waiting for you. That whole you have to get it done, and so you just do. And you suck it up, and yeah, move on through. And then afterwards, you look back and go, "Holy fucking crap! I can't believe I did that." Oh yeah. Next point: bananas can look good on the outside, but still be rotten on the inside. That was an unfortunate learning episode, I must admit, because I like bananas, and I was doing the banana thing for breakfast. I haven't necessarily been eating a whole heck of a lot with the drugs and the pain and the not moving. But bananas seemed like such a nice, easy way to do breakfast because I could literally grab it as I walked through the kitchen after feeding the cats and on my way to like lying back down and recovering from the pain. And then it was waiting there, all wrapped and ready for me. And once I was ready to eat, I could just peel it and have it. Yeah. And then one batch out of the probably 7 or 8 little batches of bananas that people have brought over for me. They were rotten on the inside. I mean, they look perfectly good on the outside, scarcely a blemish. And then I peeled it, and ew, I mean, like brown down the core of the banana. It was disgusting. Had no idea bananas could come like that. Ew. Let's see. There's a limit to how many different types of real food can be. Oh, yeah, we've already done the food and the preparation in the under 1 minute of standing time. Next point, soft beds are not good for back problems. Yeah, I mean, I've known that, but this time around, well, what can you do? Actually, there was something we could do. I have a pillow top bed, and it's not one of those ones that's meant to be flipped over. It's a never flip me over type bed. So what did we do? Yeah, we flipped it over. If you've ever had one of those types of mattresses, they look kind of almost like a box spring on the bottom because they're really not meant to be flipped over. Fuck it. We flipped it over, put the bedding back on. The first night, I'm like, oh, it was so much better. Like the pain, it helped alleviate a bit of the pain overnight. Except for the fact that, oh my God, was it? It's like so stiff. Like there's no give. So then the next night, I couldn't sleep because it was too solid and too hard. So I slept on top of my comforter and then pulled a corner of it over me and went, okay, this is better. So since then I've been sleeping with my duvet underneath me and extra blankets on top, and all's been pretty well. So yeah, I learned about that whole hard beds are probably better for bags, and I have no idea what I'm going to do once I'm back to a kind of normal living, but somehow I think my days of a nice, soft, super comfy, cozy, soft bed are over. Which is so sad. Because it also turned out that I have not. Okay, I don't sleep on my back. You know, like for the entirety of my almost 40, like in 2 months, going to be 40 years, I have never slept on my back. I don't. I do not sleep on my back. When I lie on my back, I stare at the ceiling or stare at my closed eyes. It doesn't matter. I just lie there for long periods of time. No sleeping. Well, turns out that that is the only thing that I can do for sleeping at night. If I try and sleep on my side, stomach, three-quarter prone, anything, oh my God, we lead typically instantly into pain, or occasionally 5, 10 minutes delayed time frame before the pain would start. And then when I rolled over onto the back, then I had to deal with the readjustment and all the pain from that. So I've actually, in the last 4 weeks, had to learn to sleep on my back. And all I can say is, I know I'm not getting the same type of sleep. And I miss and I long for the day when I can actually sleep like a normal me, three-quarter prone, chest down into the bed, and get some real goddamn sleep. Oh, someday. Someday, I hope soon. Anyhow, what else have we got? Oh, yes. Meditation and narcotics are not particularly a good mix for me. Yeah, tried that. You know, here I've got all this extra time, and you know, as a magical person, yeah, I would be having, if I was like looking at the outside, looking at my world, going, "Hey, you've got all this great time for meditating." Yeah, no. Turns out when you try and meditate when you're on that many drugs and stuff, all you do is kind of stare blankly at things, or fall asleep. There's no good particular thought. Energy work also. Oh. Sluggish, if that. It's kind of like trying to, I described it to my coven mate as trying to move energy was trying to like move ice cream. It's just not overly effective if you imagine big mounds of ice cream and trying to move it and direct it in the way you want. Also didn't go in for the whole, ooh, I could study nonfiction type books. I've got a stack that I want to get read. No, My short-term memory has turned non-existent through most of this. I'm like, yeah, I could read it. I wouldn't remember anything. 2 minutes later, I probably wouldn't remember what I'd read. So, yeah, no learning to be had, no meditation to be had for me. It's been actually very sad that way, because I'm like, I've got all this time, and it's being used for nothing except recouping my body, which is not nothing. Letting your body heal is not nothing, but it's a really fucking hard lesson for me to learn when I'm used to cramming multiple things in to the same time frame to get shit done. So, kind of depressing on that front, but you know, nothing I can do about it. The rate at which you get better has absolutely no connection to how much you want it. Yeah, I know it's an obvious lesson. It's still not a fun one. I like to pretend that I have more control than that, and that if I want it really, really bad, I can make it happen faster. No, afraid not. All I can do is lie on my back, do what I'm supposed to do, take my anti-inflammatories and my muscle relaxants, and I swear I've got my little pharmacy going on here. And that's it. That's all you can do. And you can't make it go any faster at all. Next point. Oh yes, Christmas decorations get old really fast when you're looking at them for 12 hours a day, every day, for over 2 weeks. Yeah. I mean, it was nice. I got my Christmas decorations up early, but that meant that I'd actually already been looking at them for a week and a half before I came down with the never able to move off my ass and therefore can only stare at my Christmas decorations for several weeks. Yeah, they get old. Oh well, but that wasn't a big one. Time loses all meaning when every day is just like the one before and the one after. Real hard time remembering what day of the week it was. In fact, pretty much the only thing keeping me on track, I think, was my birth control pills. And even at that, you're like, yeah, but did I remember to take one yesterday? Am I on the right day or am I not on the right day? And yeah, it's been crazy. Next point, I learned that it is possible to miss the act of sitting. Yes, I know I still didn't turn off my phone, and that would still be my sister trying to get a hold of me. Did I not mention that this is going to be a demented little mini-sode? The shame I feel is high, but you have to understand that the phone is beyond my reach, and so Turning it off would require me bending and twisting and stuff that I don't really want to do. Besides, we're getting close to the end. So, yeah, I miss the act of sitting down. You wouldn't think that you would. You know, it's not something that you really think about where you're like, oh yeah, sitting down. I mean, you think about going to bed and you love a good night when it's been like a really long day and you're really tired, and going to bed feels like the most wonderful experience. And you're just like, oh yeah. So I have that association for going to bed, but I never had it for sitting down. You know, sure, if you've been standing all day, a nice chair to sit down, I guess I've had that, but I miss sitting down. You know, I still get the chance to lie down and go to sleep, but I don't get the chance to sit. And I miss being able to sit. Because, you know, when you sit, you can work on things. You can do beadwork. You can do things with your hands. When you're lying on your back, you can't do practically shit all because you're flat on your back. And anything you do has to be resting either on your chest or right beside you. If it's right beside you, it's not like you can really see it. I miss sitting down. I do. I hope it comes back soon. Okay. Unimpeded free motion is one of the most wonderful things about the human body and what it can do. Oh yeah, baby, I look forward to the day where I can move and walk and sit and dance and just do it because I feel like doing it without consideration or concern of, you know, how long I've been standing for and how much longer I have before the pain kicks in, or what kind of, you know, payment I'm going to have to make for standing. I look forward to the day that I can move. For those of you who suffer from various and assorted, either long-term conditions or infirmaries or whatever the case may be, oh my God, how I empathize with you so much more. You know, not like I didn't empathize in the past, but I get it. I get it now. And, oh God, it is the most wonderful thing. And if you can move freely and joyfully, get up and fucking do it. Do it for those of us who can't. Enjoy it, savor it, live it, love it. Okay. Yes, I did learn that you can read a lot and watch a lot of TV when you have nothing else to do. But that's not really a fascinating point. And wow, my last point ended in the middle of its statement, so it means basically nothing. So I think we're going to walk away from it. It was something about lying there like a lump. You know what? I'm still lying here like a lump. But as you can tell, I now have the ability to actually put sentences together, string them together into a whole kind of cognitiveness. Oh, well, there you go. I tried using big words and my brain done fail me because it's still not quite up to what it's supposed to be. Can't even do a good crazy accent. So yeah, there we go. Those are the things that I have learned over the last 4 weeks of lying on my freaking ass and on my freaking stomach. Yeah, you will hear from me again. Probably not until I can actually sit on my happy little bouncy ball to do the next show. I don't expect to do another one until I'm actually capable of doing what I consider a real show with segment breaks and actual topics and information and thoughts to share, rather than the current vague thought sharing and drug-induced lunacy that I've got going on right now. So I'm hoping that will actually be within, you know, 2 to 3 weeks. But if you don't hear from me until the end of February or some point into March, one, I'll be very depressed because I really want to feel better before then. But two, don't be surprised and don't be worried about me because I'm being very well behaved and I'm doing what I'm supposed to do and I should be on my upward swing. Yeah, none of this was meant as a way of garnering sympathy, by the way. Really not worried about it. I'm managing life just fine. Thought I'd let you guys know what I've been up to. For everyone who sent me well wishes, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. Love you all. And hopefully it won't be too long before I talk to you again. So I guess the only thing left for me to say as the ending of the show is that the blessings of the deep and wild are to you. Blessed be.